I also threw in a little bit of bacon, a couple strips, two strips, some curry salt, that salt and curry mixed, about a teaspoon of that, maybe two teaspoons, one clove of garlic, some black pepper, some freshly chopped parsley, and by the time I got all that put in there, it was just smelling so good. And then I put in the lentils, and they started soaking up some of that goodness and a little bit of chicken stock. And then I also put in the ham hocks, and it wasn't much. It was just three small, thinly sliced pieces of a hock, and put that in there, frozen, put the lid on it, and it all just married together nicely. And then after a few minutes, I added more chicken stock. So probably halfway up the pot, a couple boxes, you know, the boxes of chicken stock. And I just let that simmer and cook together, and the lentils cooked up. And then later on, went back to check it, and I thought it was a little thin, so I added a few more lentils. So I had lentils that had really cooked up, and then I had lentils that were still whole and nicely cooked when we finally ate the soup. So it was perfect, just adding some lentils in later on and some more. I didn't add more stock. I added water. And then I had to adjust the seasonings, of course. And it was very, 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 very good, along with some fresh bread. Still making the artisan bread in 5 minutes a day. I love that. As soon as I get really good at it, then those of you who want to learn how to do it, we'll have a little cooking class, and I'll teach you how to do it too. But first, I want to get really good at it. So that was delicious, fresh, warm bread and red lentil soup. Today, I want to just give you some ideas. Maybe you're wondering what to get your friend who happens to be love to cook, or maybe they're a foodie. They love food, different foods. And I thought I'd just give you some ideas of some gifts that you could think about giving them. The first idea is some DIY gifts. And this is perfect for friends that really want to cook, but they don't quite know how to do it. And you can help them out by getting them one of these DIY gift kits that you can get. And I don't know if you can get any of them in town. I haven't checked. You can always check first and then check the internet. You can find kombucha brewing kits, which is kind of fun, especially for somebody who loves kombucha. And you can check that out, though. You can find those. Mason jar herb kits are a great idea. Also, the sprouting kits. You can get mason jar sprouting kits. You can make your own. You can check that out, too. And you can also buy the kits with everything in it, so you don't have to come up and buy all the stuff yourself. You just buy the kit, have it sent, or I don't think they have them in town. Also, you can purchase flavored soda kits, which are great for kids, teenagers, to make their own sodas. Here's another one that I found. It's a DIY goat cheese kit. How about a homebrew kit? It all comes in a 5-gallon bucket. Everything's in the kit that you need. That's a great idea for somebody who wants to start brewing their own beer, and they just don't know how to or what to do. You can just start them off with one of these little kits. Before you know it, they'll be brewing beer like John Clute Painter. I've seen hot sauce kits. So everything to make different hot sauces, including, which is really cool, the labels, the bottles, the caps, and everything that you need to make hot sauce and then bottle them yourself and then give them out as gifts too. So you can get those. That's a fun gift to give to somebody. I've seen homemade gin kits, make your own gin. Root beer, we've seen those before. And you can also get bubble gum. There's tons more kits out there for, you know, everything in the box. You open it up and your friend will be ready to go, or your family member, or you for that matter. So check those out. And some gifts I thought for cooks that aren't like huge appliances. These are just a few fun things that I thought of. Here's one, standalone baking cup molds. These are really cool because you can make a cake or a little cake any size you want if you have these molds. Well, they're different size molds, so they could be maybe 2 inches in diameter and 3.5 inches tall. And you just sit them on your parchment, on your baking sheet, and then you pour your batter into it. And you don't need anything, you don't need to flour them, you don't need to butter them, all you do is peel them off of your little cakes. So those are great for people who love to cook and like to entertain. It's not something they're going to generally go out and buy themselves. And you can get those baking cup molds in all different shapes and sizes. So if you're looking for those, maybe get them a couple different sizes of those, especially if they like to bake. Another idea for cooks, ramekins, and you know what little ramekins are. You can get those in town for sure. There's a lot of them here with the little round ones, the little clear ones, I should say. And those are perfect for individual desserts. I also use them when I can put everything in them from candles to who knows what. But lots of little, if you've got lots of spices you're using for something and you want them to be separated, also little desserts. I've made many lasagnas and little au gratin potatoes in those. Lots of individual dishes come out of ramekins. And those are great gifts for somebody who's just learning to cook, or maybe you know somebody who doesn't have them. You can generally get them in three come in a package, 3 or 4. And my general rule is at least 8. You get 8. Because if you're having a dinner party, you're generally having 4 couples, which would include you and your significant other or friend. And so 8 is a good rule. If you can't afford 8, then just do 6. But generally 8. And that's what I usually go for, because Gourmet Club, we have 8 people. Anytime I buy something like that, I always buy 8. Here's another idea, a pizza stone. I've been using mine a lot because when I'm baking the bread, artisan bread in 5 minutes a day, I'm using that pizza stone. So I'm using it all the time right now. And I love it. And I've learned to cook other things on the pizza stone. It's great. It makes, you know, breads crusty and lots of other things that you can cook on your baking stone. So that's a great idea for somebody who loves to cook, and if they don't have one, check and see. A pizza peel, that's one thing I realized lately that I need. If you're listening, Rodney, a pizza peel, and that would be, you know, that's what you put your pizza on, and then you shake it into your oven onto your pizza stone, and you would generally put like cornmeal or something like that on it. But for me right now, I need one of those for the bread. Right now, every time I go to put the bread onto the pizza stone in the oven, it's sometimes a challenge without the pizza peel. And really, you should have one of those if you're going to be baking bread, or if you want to really make some great pizzas and things like that. You got that hot stone in the oven, you really need to have that pizza peel to just shake whatever you have on it off onto the pizza stone. Flan dishes are, little individual flan dishes. They're shorter than ramekins, and a lot of times they're fluted, and they're only about 1 inch tall, maybe 1.5 inches. And those are great ideas for gifts, and you can put little things in them too, and then stack them and wrap a little ribbon around them and give them as a gift. And once again, if you can afford to do 8, great. Maybe you could do 4 and do 4 another time for that person too. And then eventually they'll have 8 of them. Gratin dishes, or gratin dishes. They're bigger than a flan dish. They are shallow, and generally they're oval. And you can get them in a whole bunch of different sizes. Individual gratin dishes, or larger, that would feed like 4 people, or even larger than that. But they're also not very tall. And so they're perfect, because a gratin is not a layer dish that's very thick. Usually it's 3 or 4 layers of something. And you want it to cook a certain way, so you use the gratin dish. So layered dips, perfect. You know that dip that we all love? It's the crab dip or the Parmesan artichoke dip. Those are perfect in the rotan dishes. So that's a good gift. A lot of cooks don't buy those for themselves. Here's one that I thought of, and I actually saw this as I was looking for Christmas presents. But layer cake slicing kit. For me, I have a heck of a time trying to slice a cake in half to make a layered cake. I mean, I'm not a baker anyway, hardly, but when it comes to layering, my cakes, they're lopsided by the time I get them cut, and I'm having to fix it with frosting and who knows what. But with a layer cake slicing kit, I think it would be a lot easier. It basically has this little handle, and it helps you slice your cake. If you're somebody who cuts them all the time, then it's no problem for you. You just whip right through it, I'm sure. How about a sharpening stone for their good knives? Chances are they probably have one, but you might want to ask. Sometimes maybe they don't have a real nice one. Digital scales are nice. How many times are you looking at recipes where you just wish you had the digital scale so you could measure that way instead of dipping in your cup? And so many recipes that come from the UK and other parts of the world, they're using digital scales. Here's one I thought of that I definitely need myself, and this is fun because the whipped cream dispenser. I know it'll take up a little bit of room, but I just love whipped cream. You just put your whipped cream in there and psh, comes out as whipped cream. And the nice thing about these cool whipped cream dispensers is that you can flavor your whipped cream. So you can put your cream in there and then you can add other flavors to it very easily. And meringues also, things like that. It's perfect. I actually saw somebody make a sponge type cake using a whipped cream dispenser. And they just put it in a little paper cup, sprayed it into a paper cup, and then actually, this is crazy, they put it in a microwave for a few seconds and it turned into this really decadent sponge cake. Anyway, you can do stuff like that with a whipped cream dispenser. Also, parchment paper is always very good, and cheesecloth. Parchment papers come in all sorts of varieties, and parchment also comes like the tulip parchment baking cups and different baking cups, almost like the ones I mentioned at first, the standalone baking cup molds. These are all parchment, and so that's always good to give a cook because they're always going to use them. And, of course, cheesecloth. We can always use cheesecloth, always running out of cheesecloth. How about some specialty ingredients like truffle oils? Very fun. Also vinegars, like aged balsamic vinegar. Something that's way out of the realm. I mean, you don't want to buy something that might just sit in their cabinet for a year before they ever use it. Something like a truffle oil, people who like to cook would use it a lot. And same with like an aged balsamic vinegar. Salts, flavored salts, salt boxes. Also, I thought of, this is fun, monthly clubs, like monthly cheese clubs, monthly wine clubs. I've heard of monthly hot sauce clubs. And there are many, many other food-related clubs where every month they get something in the mail that is something food-related. So those are some of my ideas. Check them out. Hopefully that sparked your interest a little bit and you're thinking, oh, that's what I can do. Rather than just, getting the old soup spoon, because a cook probably has a soup spoon. And those are my picks for this year for Christmas. Coming up next, we're going to talk about easy chicken recipes for these busy holiday nights when you're running around doing this and that. And these are quick, easy, cheap meals. Coming up next on What's for Dinner. We'll be right back.
Frosted window panes, candles gleaming inside, painted candy canes on the tree. Santa's on his way, he's filled his sleigh with things. Things for you and for me. It's that time of year when the world falls in love. Every song you hear seems to say, Merry Christmas, may your New Year dreams come true. And this song of mine in three-quarter time wishes you and yours the same thing too.
Welcome back to What's for Dinner. Just gave you my picks for some gifts for cooks. And today we're going to talk about chicken, fast chicken dishes. And the reason I thought of chicken is because sometimes you're at the grocery store and you just see, well, you can go and you can buy the smaller organic ones if that's what you like to do. And I totally encourage eating organic. However, if you're wanting to cut down on the cost of your meals and you want to buy bulk, you can buy your, of course, chicken a lot cheaper. And many people do that. And you can get a large quantity of chicken breasts at a much, less cost. And that's what we're talking about today. So buying bulk chicken breasts, you can buy them with the skin on and with the bone in. And if you know what to do, you can get that off of there. And because we're talking about boneless, skinless here. Otherwise, buy them bulk and put them in the freezer. If you have a busy week and your family doesn't mind eating chicken, buying some bulk chicken breasts, boneless, skinless, when you see them on sale is a great idea. And you can package them into two to a package. Generally, most recipes call for 1 pound of chicken breasts. So if you have your digital scale, you can measure out 1 pound of chicken breasts and Ziploc it up, put it in the freezer in individual packages. So just my idea. I'm thinking because I'm so busy and how in the heck am I going to feed my family this week? So chicken is one of the ideas. And of course, soups are awesome ways to feed your families when you're really, really busy. To start off with, I'm going to give you two recipes for some chicken meatballs. And so on, when you have time, throw a bunch of your chicken through your meat grinder. And for cooks, that is another great item to get a cook would be a meat grinder attachment for their KitchenAid. And I know you can get those here in town. And I don't know, they might cost about $89 or something like that, but they're totally worth it. Because I have ground so much meat in my meat grinder on my KitchenAid, it's unbelievable. It just keeps going. And so you're going to take, you want about a pound of ground chicken for this recipe. And I'm going to say that if you're going to grind up the chicken, you might as well grind up some extra. Because for this, we're going to have sausage meatballs, chicken sausage meatballs, two nights in a row. So if you're serving four in your family, you're going to grind up 2 pounds of chicken. And then we're going to make meatballs out of these. We're going to have them tonight, and we're going to have them tomorrow night. So you have 2 pounds of ground chicken. You have some crushed red pepper flakes. It depends on how hot you want your meatballs. 2 teaspoons if you don't want it super hot, and 4 if you like a little more spice. Anything in between is fine too. Just eyeball it. Sometimes I just sprinkle on, and when I see red pepper flakes kind of sprinkled over the entire bit of meat, then I know there's enough. You're not completely covered, but, you know, just an even coat over the meat. I was like, okay, that'll incorporate in nicely. Also, some garlic, and you can just use granulated garlic. We're doing this really quick. and probably about 4 teaspoons of granulated garlic. You're going to need about 3 teaspoons of salt, 1 teaspoon of black pepper, a couple teaspoons of crushed fennel, fennel seeds, 2 large eggs, maybe 3, a couple cups of unseasoned panko breadcrumbs, or, you know, you can use any breadcrumbs for that matter, and you're going to need a couple cups. You're going to need between 1/4 and 1/2 cup of extra virgin olive oil, 2 teaspoons of oregano, and about 4 tablespoons of tomato paste, and just mix it all together. And there you have it. And cover and refrigerate it for 2 to 4 hours. And then you're going to roll them into 1.5-inch meatballs, and you're going to fry them in the skillet and brown them on all sides and let them drain on paper towels, and there you're done. Half of them you're going to use the next night or the night after that, so they're not eating meatballs 2 nights in a row, if you want to do it that way. And then the first thing we're going to make is a broccoli pasta bowl. So you're going to put it all together. You're going to add 2 tablespoons of oil to the reserve drippings that you have in your skillet after you're done cooking the chicken meatballs. You're going to saute about 4 cloves of garlic in there, minced garlic, also 1/4 teaspoon of crushed red pepper, and that'll become nice and fragrant. Then add your meatballs and about 1 cup of chicken broth. And then go ahead and turn off the heat, and you're going to cook some pasta and also some broccoli. So you need about 10 ounces of dry penne pasta and about 4 to 5 heaping cups of fresh broccoli florets. And go ahead and cook those the way you like them. The florets, of course, you don't want them falling apart. Mushy broccoli, ew. So make sure you don't overcook them. And the penne pasta, you want that al dente, just have a little bit of bite to it. And so begin cooking the penne, and you can add some chicken broth to that pasta water, and that's really going to make it nice. You can add your broccoli florets right to the pasta water before the chicken is done. It only needs to be in there about 3 minutes. And I love cooking like that. I do that a lot with peas. I do that a lot with broccoli and other vegetables when you're cooking with pasta. When it's about 3 minutes out, throw in your vegetable, and then it all comes out together. And turn your meatballs back on. Pour it all back in the skillet. Add some of the pasta liquid too, and then you're also just going to season it with some salt and pepper and some Parmesan, and you just have these nice chicken meatballs with pasta and broccoli. And I love that type of dish. It's super quick. The whole thing, after you have the meatballs made, should only take about 15 minutes. So that's pretty quick. And make enough so you have some leftovers if you can. So another way that you can use the meatballs, you can make like a chicken meatball sub. And to make the sub, you're going to need your meatballs, and you're going to need to make some tomato sauce. And really, if you're in a big hurry, just buy the tomato sauce and do it that way. But for those of you who still cook homemade everything, even when you have no time, here's how you do it. 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 small onion minced, 2 cloves of garlic minced. You're also going to need 1 tablespoon of tomato paste, which you should have left over from that little can you used to actually put in the meatballs, so don't throw that away. You could use 1 15-ounce can of chopped tomatoes, or you can roughly chop 4 or 5 tomatoes. Salt and pepper, some fresh basil. You're going to need 1 baguette. 8 ounces of fresh mozzarella, thinly sliced. Doesn't have to be fresh, but fresh would be really good. It's going to give it that homemade taste, especially if you're using canned sauce. Hot peppers, pepperoncinis, that's optional. So heat your olive oil, saute your onions, add your garlic, and saute for about a minute. After your onions are cooked, add your garlic, and then you're going to cook it for another minute. Remember to never cook your garlic too long without adding more to it. Then in a bowl, you combine your tomato sauce, or in your pan, add your tomato sauce. Add tomato paste, tomatoes if you're using them. Season with a little salt and pepper. Add in all of your seasonings. And basically, place mozzarella on your bread slices. And you want to go ahead and toast those because it'd be nice and crunchy. And put it under the broiler with some cheese on it. Toss the meatballs in the tomato sauce. Spoon some meatballs onto the bread. Garnish with some hot peppers. And there you have it. You can add the other piece of bread on top if you like, or just have a one-sided breaded, you know what I mean, just one piece of bread, and that would be fine too. Put on some more sauce and a little more cheese, perfect. You can eat it with a fork and a knife, or you can just make a sandwich that you hold in your hand. And there you have chicken meatballs two nights. So definitely make that double batch of meatballs. Here's a quick recipe. And it's super easy if you like cashews. And basically, you just need another chicken breast, and you need 2 cups of minced chicken breast for this. You also need some cashews, unsalted probably, and some garlic, some onion, a cup of basil. Thai basil is best. And if you can't get Thai basil, you can just use a regular basil. And then if you're somebody who does like to cook things like chicken and cashew with Thai basil, you probably do have fish sauce, oyster sauce, and soy sauce. So you're going to need 1.5 tablespoons of fish sauce and oyster sauce, 1 tablespoon of soy, or 1.5 tablespoons, a little bit of sugar, and maybe some water. So mix all of the sauces together, the fish sauce, oyster sauce, soy sauce, and the sugar, and stir it in to dissolve it. Then you're going to use a wok or a frying pan. Make sure it's on high. Add 3 tablespoons of oil and make sure the pan is well coated. You're going to add your garlic and only 10 seconds in there. That's about all it's going to need. Then you're going to quickly add the minced chicken. It's cut small, so it's just going to cook very, very quickly, and it's going to turn white. Then you're going to pour the sauces into it. Mix it well. Add your basil. Cook it for another 30 seconds. If it looks like there's not enough sauce, you can add some water. That's okay. And then throw the cashews in. Take it off the heat, and there you have it. And you can serve that with rice. So this takes no time to cook, so you're going to want to start your rice because your rice takes about 14 to 20 minutes. And definitely start your rice first. And when your rice is done and you've taken the rice off the heat to sit for 5 minutes and steam, that's when you can throw your chicken and cashews on. And then you have a great minced chicken, cashew, Thai basil dish. Very, 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 very quick. Another one like that is a creamy curry chicken, and very inexpensive. If you buy bulk chicken, you can pretty much make this dish for about $10 for 4 people. And same with the chicken and cashew with the Thai basil. And once again, this one you can serve with some rice. Basmati rice would be good. Any rice that you have, though, is fine. And also, it would be good in a pita. So, if you want to add other things to it, put it in a pita, that would be good, and turn it into like a sandwich. You need some vegetable oil, couple tablespoons, a couple fresh cloves of garlic, and all of these things we try to keep in our pantries, right? The garlic, the onion, the oil, so we don't have to purchase it all when you want to make a meal. That's when it seems to get expensive. But when you're buying it and having that always in your pantry, when you run out, make sure you just put it on your list. Where was I? Large yellow onion, some curry powder. We need to have that. 2.5 teaspoons. You also need some ground cumin, 2 teaspoons, and crushed red pepper flakes, spices that you should always have on hand, and then a teaspoon of ground turmeric. And turmeric is pretty inexpensive, and you use it a lot in curry-type dishes, but the nice thing about turmeric is it really colors your food a nice yellow. Here we go, 1 pound of boneless chicken breasts, and you're going to cut those up into bite-sized pieces about 1 inch, you know, basically the same as you would your cashew chicken. And then 1.5 teaspoons of tomato paste, 1 cup of coconut milk, and some salt. So once again, in a wok or in a large frying pan, you're going to heat your oil over medium heat, add your onions, cook for 6 to 8 minutes, add your garlic, and cook for another minute. Stir in the spice. It's going to smell so good. Cumin, turmeric, the curry powder, the red pepper flakes, the salt, and cook for about a minute, and add your tomato paste. When you add your tomato paste, it's going to seem really thick, but you don't freak out, because, you know, it's nice to let your tomato paste kind of caramelize. It really does make a difference when you put tomato paste, even sometimes, you know, over at the side of your frying pan, rather than mixing it in with everything right away, mixing it in the side and let it caramelize over there just a little bit. The tomato paste has those sugars in it, and when it hits the pan and heats up, it will caramelize a little bit and gives it a little extra flavor. So take that extra few seconds to do that, and then mix it in with the rest of your ingredients. You're going to see a difference. Mix it all to combine. Then toss your chicken pieces with a little more curry powder and some salt and pepper in a Ziploc bag. Then add it to the mixture in your pan and cook for about 5 to 6 minutes. And then pour the coconut milk in there. And simmer uncovered for about 7 minutes until the chicken is cooked through. If there isn't enough liquid, just like our other dish, add some hot water to it. And you do want to add hot water. I try to keep a kettle on the stove, and it's nice if you can keep hot water in it. When you're cooking, turn it on if you think you're going to need some hot water, because it's nice to add the hot water and not the cold or room temp water. It does make a difference. It stops your cooking or slows it down. And there we have it. And you can serve that with white rice. You can also sprinkle some cilantro on there. Maybe a little squeeze of lime would be perfect. You could also put that in a pita. It would be good. And that's so quick. It's the same thing. Once you get your rice made, go ahead and make this, because it's not going to take that long. It takes 15 minutes tops. Very easy to cook. Chicken cooks so fast. We're going to move on to, I've got 2 more dishes I want to share with you. This one is another sandwich, and this one is from Food 52, and it's a balsamic chicken sandwich. And I really like the idea of this sandwich. Once again, you need 1 pound of boneless chicken and chicken breast. You're going to cut it into strips. You also need 1 cup of balsamic vinegar, some sea salt, some pepper. It's always best to try to use a pepper grinder to crack your pepper. You'll really see a difference between that and then the just coming out of the shaker. And that's a good gift for a cook if you know somebody who doesn't have one. And they come in all sizes and... yeah, all sizes, very affordable. You could even buy them in the store now, of course, already in the grinder, right? Some olive oil, a red onion, thinly sliced, 1 tablespoon of brandy, 1 loaf of bread, French bread would be the best, And this also uses some peach jam. You can use orange marmalade if you'd like. And if you can't find good peaches to make some peach jam very quickly, because it's easy to make a quick peach jam, you could use some canned peaches too, and that would work. But orange marmalade would be great with this. Also, you need some mayonnaise and you need some lettuce. So you're going to marinate your chicken in, you can put that in a little Ziploc bag, in the balsamic vinaigrette. And then preheat your grill. You can do this inside in a grill pan, or you can do it outside on your grill. You're going to cook the chicken strips for about 4 minutes per side, so not that long. And then you're going to heat some olive oil up over medium heat, add your onion slices, season with some salt and pepper, and cook for 6 to 7 minutes. Then you're going to add a little brandy to it. The alcohol will cook out of it about 2 to 3 minutes, but it'll have that flavor. And remove from the heat and set it aside. So lay the slices of bread out, spread jam on one side and mayo on the other, top with the jam, add the chicken, onion, and then the lettuce. And that sounds like such a great sandwich. I had to share that with you. That's an easy meal. You can marinate the chicken in the morning before you're heading out to work, and then when you come back, very easy. It's going to take you 15 minutes to cook that meal. And then I wanted to, this is more like a casserole type thing, and it doesn't take that long to cook a chicken casserole, basically 20 to 25 minutes. Especially it's the kind, you know, where you're using like creme fraiche or in Parmesan cheese and breadcrumbs. Chicken breasts don't take long to bake at all. Preheat your oven to 350, and you're going to pound some chicken breasts down to a thickness of like a half an inch. And so 4 boneless chicken breasts. And when I pound them down, I put them in a Ziploc bag, kind of more of a heavy-duty one, and I pound them down on the counter. Salt and pepper both sides. And then melt the butter in a skillet. And then you're going to brown these chicken breasts on both sides, about 3 to 4 minutes per side. So it doesn't take very long. If you have a big skillet, you can fit 2 or 3 in there. Transfer the chicken to a 9x11 baking dish. Cover it with some artichoke hearts. And add some sherry, lemon zest, lemon juice to the frying pan to kind of pick up some of those bits and deglaze the pan. Stir over medium heat for several minutes. Add some cream. Creme fraiche would be really good, but you can just add even a little bit of whipping cream. Remove it from heat and pour over the chicken and the artichokes. Sprinkle with some Parmesan cheese, grated, like a half a cup, and just bake it for 20 to 25 minutes. And there you have a nice, you can serve that with rice too. You could serve that with noodles. That's a quick and easy chicken dish. I think the kids would like that. If you don't want to use artichokes, you could use broccoli even. And those are my quick chicken dishes for this week. So you can stay cool and calm and still put dinner on the table for everybody and still make a fantastic meal, and it's not going to cost you that much. And you can buy a whole bunch of chicken breasts at once. And you're going to save time and money in this busy holiday season. Coming up next, we have the drink of the week on What's for Dinner.
Every week of the month and every month of the year, he's got us making presents, and I'm happy. Every girl and boy gets their own kind of toy. We like to fill them with joy. We're working overtime to make them happy. Then on Christmas Eve, we jump on big red sleigh. We don't miss a chimney on our jolly way. We won't stop until every kid gets a fill of Santa's brand of goodwill. The thrill of spill and cheer just makes us happy. So if you've been good yourself, you might see the happy elf stop by your house and make you very happy. The happy elf. I'm the happy.
Support for What's for Dinner comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. Hosting trivia on Wednesdays, open mic on Thursdays, and DJs for dancing on the weekends. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, open 7 days a week. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. Time for the drink of the week, and this one is a good one. I recently bought some bourbon for a recipe, and actually I was making some salt, and I made some salt with bourbon in it, which is odd, but is awesome. Tastes great. And so I have some leftover bourbon at home, and I kind of splurged on this bourbon a little bit, and it is so good. I have to say I've had a little bit of it, not much. But I found this recipe and I'm definitely going to try it, in an evening. Bourbon, orange, and ginger. And this makes one cocktail, and you do need to make ginger syrup. So we got to think ahead of time, make sure we get the ginger syrup made. This time of the year, you can keep some of these syrups right in your refrigerator in a jar and use them when your people come over for a cocktail or something. So you need some thinly sliced peeled fresh ginger, half a cup of granulated sugar, 1/4 cup of packed light brown sugar, 1.5 cups of water, and 1/4 teaspoon of pure vanilla extract. And that's how you're going to make your ginger syrup in a small saucepan. Combine all the ingredients except the vanilla, bring it to a boil, and then down to simmer. Simmer for about 15 minutes and the syrup will reduce to about 1 cup. All of the sugar will be dissolved, removed from the heat, and then stir in the vanilla, and then let it just cool, and then strain through a fine mesh sieve and refrigerate up to a week. Probably do what I do, stick it out on the front porch so it cools really quickly because you're trying to get that drink made or something. But I'll try to make it ahead of time. So there's the ginger syrup. Then for the cocktail, you need 2 ounces of bourbon, 1 ounce of triple sec, 3 tablespoons of your ginger syrup, and 3 ounces of fresh orange juice, also some crushed ice. Combine the bourbon, triple sec, ginger syrup, and orange juice, fill a glass with crushed ice, and pour the cocktail over. And here is another idea for people who like to mix drinks. I just saw, and actually, where did I see it? I don't know if I saw it on a TV program. Oh, I think I did. I was watching Bobby Flay cooking a brunch menu, and he likes to make cocktails. He actually poured everything into a jar, and you can now buy your drink mixer that you screw onto a jar, a ball jar, and shake. So your drink shaker. You can turn a ball jar into a shaker. And I actually saw those also somewhere on the internet looking for something. And I know you can get them. Probably not in town, but you might want to check. And you can turn your ball jars into a shaker. And that's pretty fun. We're just using ball jars for everything lately. So there's your bourbon, orange, and ginger. And that is going to be a great drink. And today for my sweet tooth, I gave this to you last year, and I'm going to give this to you again this year. This is my Grandma Clauser's Christmas cookie recipe. It's your basic Christmas cookie cutter recipe. And, of course, been in the family for years. It came from Wisconsin, this recipe, originally. Who knows where from there before our family had it. But this is from Grandma Clauser. This is 1.5 cups of powdered sugar, 1 cup of softened butter, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 1/2 teaspoon of almond extract, 1 egg, 2.5 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, and 1 teaspoon of cream of tartar. And those are the ingredients for the cookies. The almond extract gives the cookie deliciousness. As we know here in Petersburg, a lot of people use almond for their baking. Mix the powdered sugar, the butter, vanilla, almond extract, and egg together. Stir in the remaining ingredients and cover and refrigerate for at least 3 hours. It's so easy. And then heat your oven to 375, divide your dough into halves. And, of course, you're going to roll them into your lightly floured surface, cut with the cookie cutters, place on your greased cookie sheet, and bake until the edges are light brown, 7 to 8 minutes. And decorate with frosting and sprinkles. This recipe is so good when you very thinly roll out the dough. The edges get nice and browned and crisp. And then when you put the frosting on it, it's the perfect sugar cookie. Here's the frosting. 3 cups of powdered sugar, 1/3 cup of softened butter, 1.5 teaspoons of vanilla. If you want to use a little bit of almond, you can, but it's nice to have vanilla in this. Almond is in the cookie. And 2 tablespoons of milk. Mix your powdered sugar and butter. Stir in the vanilla and milk. Beat until smooth. I use the KitchenAid for this. Divide into small bowls and add your food coloring. And I just picked up some new food coloring because I'll be making some cookies. This makes about 4 dozen. So one batch makes quite a few of these cookies. And that's from my Grandma Clauser. And, yeah, Christmas cookies are coming up. I'd like to hear from folks on their favorite cookies. We're going to have a cookie talk on what's for dinner coming up in a few weeks. Thanks for joining me today. Also coming up on the next What's for Dinner, Danish Kringle. Also, it's a Wisconsin tradition, and my family knows it well. Thanks for joining me today, everyone. Happy eating and happy cooking.